Good morning. If you are visiting with us today, we are so glad that you're here, and we thank you for coming. For those who regularly attend here, we are grateful that you are here on a cold morning and are here to worship God. Every day, you and I as Christians have to fight against the forces of evil that are in the world around us. Our nation has to do so as well. And in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34, the Bible says that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to every people. In Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 12, when he was talking about people in the days of Jerusalem, by the morals in which they were living, said, were they ashamed when they had committed an abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. We live in a world today in which society has in some ways gone awry. In our study today of Genesis chapter 19, we have a situation of sin that has gone to seed, that has finally had its final fruition. People who chose to go against the principles of God and live in a way that was so abominable that God in essence said, I can't stand it anymore, and I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of the great abomination that is found therein. As I was preparing this sermon this coming Tuesday, in no way did I know anything about the decision that was made in a court this past Friday that has a great deal to do with the state in which we live, in which a judge decided that after many years of Alabama banning two homosexuals being married together, but no longer now can that law be accepted. But instead, he ruled against that law. And therefore, not knowing all the ramifications, it seems to be that Alabama becomes the 37th state in our great country that accepts that kind of marriage. The Bible talks greatly about this. There is a battle that is going on today because of folks who choose to go against the teachings of God's Word. And you and I must, as was the prayer expressed by Larry, have our faith tested by standing for what is right, regardless of what the world chooses to do. You may recall there in Genesis chapter 18 that when God came to Abraham and told him about going to Sodom to see if the wickedness was as great as he thought it to be, that he pleaded for the people's souls on that occasion. That he desired for those folks not to be destroyed because of those that were there that would be righteous. And how that he bargained with God, first of all, for 50 righteous souls, that if they could be found, the cities could be spared. Finally, he got down to 10, as verse 32 tells us. But we know that 10 righteous souls could not be found, and thus the destruction was evident the very next day. Homosexuality has come out of the closet, as they say, and are now in our family rooms. They want us to believe that it's nothing more than an alternative lifestyle decision, that in some cases, some were made that way or born that way, and that if we have a problem with it, we just need to get over it. Yet, the teachings of God's Word are still there. And in Romans chapter 1, although we do not have the time to look at that in verses 24 through 32, he talks about that lifestyle. And I sympathize with family members whose loved ones have chosen that lifestyle. Here in verse 4 of Genesis chapter 19, if you'll turn there to that chapter, you'll see that there were men, both young and old, who surrounded the house in which Lot was living. Those men, old and young, were once boys, brought into this world, conceived in love by a mom and a dad. And yet they had chosen not to follow the lifestyle of growing up and loving and marrying a woman, but instead being involved in a terrible way with one another. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 1, verses 24 through 32, that those who make that decision go against nature, act in a vile way, and their actions are shameful in the mind of God. So terrible was what happened here in Genesis chapter 19, that hundreds of years later, in Jude verse 7, he talks about this terrible action and how that those people were suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Such is the ultimate decision of those who live in ways contrary to God. Therefore, if you will, we can fast forward to Genesis chapter 19. Because Genesis chapter 19 is a story, a picture of sin that has gone bad and gotten even worse. How that it was so terrible that it even influenced the family of Lot. This morning, I'd like for us to think about when Sodom lived in Lot's family. First of all, when Sodom lived in Lot's family, respect for parents declined. Look at what is said in verses 12 through 14. Then the men said to Lot, "Have you anyone else here, son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in this city? Take them out of this place, for we will destroy this place because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who had married his daughters, and said, "Get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. Sadly, the family of Lot was going to be affected by the sin that was so prevalent in this area. And so he goes to his family, and it's really not sure exactly how many children he had. It seems to be that at least he had four daughters, because he's taking two with him, and there are sons-in-law, so they too had married at least two of his daughters. And so when he goes to them as the head of their family and tells them about this ultimate destruction that's going to take place, the King James Version says that they mocked him, that they laughed in his face. The very idea that something of this would happen. Sadly today, when the world lives in people's hearts, respect for parents declined. Today, often on TV shows, fathers and mothers are seen as nothing but bumbling idiots who know nothing about life and how to live it. And yet the Bible still tells us the wisdom, the great courage it takes to listen to and respect and follow the teachings of those that are above us as mothers and as fathers. In Proverbs 1, verses 8 and 9, he says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck." Again, in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 5, he says, "A fool despises his father's instruction, but he that regards reproof is prudent or wise." So terrible in the minds of God was the disrespect of a child for his parents, to the sense that God said in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 9, that if a child disrespected his parents, they could be taken out of the city and put to death because of the disrespect that they showed to the very young. The Bible still tells us today in Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long upon the earth." Sadly, when Sodom lived in Lot's family, disrespect for parents was seen. But secondly, when Sodom lived in Lot's family, there was a reluctance to flee evil. Notice here what the Bible says in verse 15 and 16. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." And while he lingered, The man took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him. And they brought him out and set him outside the city. 2 Peter chapter 2 describes Lot as a righteous man who was vexed and oppressed and greatly disturbed by the evil of the people around him. Why did he linger? Maybe he thought about some of his own family that was choosing not to go with him. Maybe he was thinking about the folks that he had tried to influence for good, that he was going to have to leave behind. Whatever the reason was, he lingered when he was supposed to be running away from it. The Bible talks about the need to flee certain things. We know that there are times when imminent danger allows us and shows us the need to get rid and get away from something as quickly as possible. If there's a fire in the house, they say grab those that are children and everyone in the house and get out as quickly as possible. Don't take anything with you except yourselves because of the imminent danger that you're in. In that infamous situation known as 9/11 in our great country, we all watched with terrible awe as evil came straight to our country, to those Twin Towers there in New York City. And we saw as they ran into those towers and ultimately caused the destruction of some 3,000 people. Unbeknown to me, literally across the road from where I live, the house no more than 50 yards away was a lady who lived in that home with her husband, who worked for a company in Atlanta, who had an office on the 69th floor of the first tower. We didn't know this for several days. But as Kim tells the story, when that first airplane hit their tower, about 10 or 15 levels above her, she just thought it was an earthquake. But then they were told to go down the stairs and get out. And she tells the story, when they got to the bottom floor, the policeman told them to run as fast as you can and don't look back. And that's what they did for the next hour or so. The Bible tells us there are some things we need to run away from. Flee fornication, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18. Get away from it. Any kind of sexual wrong. Flee idolatry, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 14. Flee or run away from the love of money, 1 Timothy 6, verses 10 and 11. Flee youthful lust, 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. And yet at a time in which Lot and his family were to run away, sadly, they lingered. Thirdly, when Sodom lived in Lot's family, fear reigned in the place of faith. Verse 17, it told them, escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay away in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. You may recall there in verses 17 through 22, how that Lot is afraid. He's afraid to go to the mountains. And so he talks about bargaining if he can go to that little city known as Zoar and stay there and be able to be safe there. And the ultimate situation was that God spared that city because he was going to it. But then we read in verse 30 that he is still afraid, even though he's gone to that city of safety known as Zoar. And ultimately goes to the mountains and finds dwelling in a cave. When people aren't living as they ought to, then fear takes the place of faith. We know that faith is given to us, and it is that which overcomes the world, according to 1 John 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Our faith in God, our trust in God, will be with us and stay with us, even in the midst of fear. But if we don't have that faith, then there is going to be fear. The Bible tells us what ultimately we should fear in Matthew 10, verse 28. He says, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. On this occasion, fear took the place of faith because of what had happened in the situation in which they lived. Folks who are not living right don't have the peace that we sang about this morning. It is not well with their soul. They may trust in themselves, but that's not enough because they don't have the faith that they need to have. But sadly also, when Sodom lived in Lot's family, a deadly yearning for the world was stronger than the will to obey God. Look at verses 25 and 26. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the city, and what grew on the ground. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. The angel had told them so clearly in verse 17, get away from this place. Don't turn back. Go away as fast as you can. And so you see the picture here, perhaps of the two girls that were first in line, and then the wife, and then Lot bringing up the rear. Probably more than once he was saying, whatever you hear, don't look back. Don't turn back around. But his wife chose to do so, and she became a pillar of salt. Why did Lot's wife turn around? There's so many ideas as to why that was the case. Some have suggested it was simply curiosity. Others have thought, well, there were family back there. There were friends back there. She thought about that, and so she turned around because of those desires. Maybe she didn't think that it really would be fatal. Maybe she thought she can disobey that statement made by the angel and it's really not going to matter. Perhaps it was an emotional thing. Perhaps it was that she had ties with people there and family and friends. And so she chose to turn around toward that rather than to turn toward the safety that was there waiting in Zoar. Some have said her feet was heading the other direction, but her heart was in Sodom. Whatever the case was, we know that if we choose the world rather than God, we become his enemy. James chapter 4, verse 4, you adulterers and adulteresses, knowing not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Christ would tell us in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, he that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Notice that the text says that she looked back. That's an interesting irony because you see this whole situation began with a look. Back in Genesis chapter 13, when Lot's servants and Abraham's servants were fighting one with another because of the land that they were all in together, Abraham told him, lift up your eyes and choose the direction you want to go. And if you go in that direction, then we'll go in that direction. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 13, verse 10, that he lifted up his eyes toward the well-watered plains of the Jordan, of that eastward country. And he saw how wonderful and how beautiful and how grassy it was. And he knew that it was in the direction of Sodom, but still he pitched his tent toward Sodom, realizing the evil that was there for what it was known for. Still, he chose that direction. You can't help but wonder how many times Lot grieved over that terrible decision and the consequences that it brought to him and to his family. The Lord brings this story back to us in Luke chapter 17, verse 32. When in the context of talking about the judgment of the world and how that He's going to come and judge all men on that day, He says very simply, remember Lot's wife. That is, that it happened just like we said it would. That if you turned around, something bad was going to happen. And she turned into a pillar of salt. There's a lesson here for us as well. And that is that we must stand against that which is evil. Someone has said, what we do not fight against, our children will embrace. We now have even a greater urgency to make sure that our little ones, that our children know that they are to love God and that they're to follow God's way. And God, when He created the first family, made them Adam and Eve. He did not make them Adam and Steve. And they need to know that. And they need to realize that God's way is best. But also we learn from this that there are no free rides on the devil's playground. A person can live in sin, but ultimately the consequences of their error comes about. And such was the case on this occasion when this wife chose to turn back to that old world of Sodom and turned into a pillar of salt. The words of God are still so true. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. This ugly, terrible story shows us that the yearning and the desires for the world is against the way that God sets forth. Finally, in this story, when Sodom lived in Lot's family, Sodom's immorality had taken root in their actions. In verses 30 to 38, the influence of Sodom is not removed even after the destruction of that city and also the city of Gomorrah. Mankind's longing to fulfill the selfish natures of their own flesh is evident in the heart of Lot's daughters. Out of fear, they leave Zoar. They go to the mountains, and then they find a cave to dwell in. And we see that terrible, terrible situation of how that those daughters take things into their own hands, thinking that the lineage of their father needs to be continued, and thus make him drunk, not once, but twice, and then go in and become expectant with child by him. Sadly, the influence of evil often stays with even future generations. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good morals. These daughters committed fornication by sinning in the way in which they did. They sinned against their father by showing disrespect unto him. Notice also the alcohol and how its influence was used in an evil way to get which they so desired. Is it any wonder that this chapter ends by telling us the consequences of their sin? How that those offspring become the leaders of the Moabite and Ammonite nations? Folks that in years to come are a curse and a thorn in the side of the Israelites? Sin begets sin. It just continues on because of the evil that is done. What these women did to their father would be known as incest today, a crime in the eyes of God and also in the laws of the land. No one has the right to touch any person in an inappropriate way, regardless of who they are, regardless of who you are, if by chance that should ever, ever happen to you, don't think that you caused it. Don't think that you can't do anything about it. you have the right, you have the obligation to tell someone, an elder of the church, a Bible class teacher, a counselor at school, it is never, never right. And you are a victim, and you have the right and the obligation to call out for help. This story ends in the sordid way in which it begins. Evil was rampant in the beginning, and evil is rampant in the end. Immorality was desired, and there were consequences on both ends. But let me end today by saying that those who choose the way, or have chosen the way in times past, of what these men did and the homosexuality that they desired, can be forgiven by God. In 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11, there were some there who had chosen that way. But he said about them, and such were some of you, verse 11. But now you're washed. But now you're sanctified. But now you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. They had given up that way of life, and you can be forgiven of that lifestyle as well. Someone sitting here today say, Don, I would never make that decision. I would never be so disrespectful to my parents as was the case of these daughters. I would never do the terrible things that you've mentioned there found in Genesis chapter 19. That's well and good. But if this morning you're not a child of God, yet you are accountable and responsible for this actions of your life, and if you continue in that non-decision or in that decision not to obey God, do you realize that your future is found with the very same people that we've talked about tonight or this morning if they choose not to repent? In one of the last chapters of the Bible, the last book, Revelation 21 in verse 8, he says, but the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You can be a wonderful person. You can pay your taxes. You can be kind to your neighbors. You can be kind to your family. But if you don't give your life to Christ, you're unbelieving in His sight. And you're going to be clashed, you're going to be found in the exact same place for eternity that folks who make those choices that we've talked about today will be found in. This morning, why not take a stand for right? Why not today say, I'm going to give my life to Christ. I'm going to believe with Him with all my heart. I'm going to turn from the sins of my life. I'm going to confess His sweet name as God's Son. And I'm going to be baptized this morning and become a child of His and try to make a difference in the world in which I live. Be a part of the great family of God. All things today are in a state of readiness. Or if you're a child of God and you've strayed from His cause, you brought disrespect to His name, maybe the name of your family, by choices you have made, you can come back home. God is willing and ready to forgive you as you come back repenting and confessing the wrong in your life. A loving Savior invites you to come to Him today, right now, as we stand and sing.
I hear the Savior's